Thank you so much, Bridget. I'm so glad to be here. So I am very grateful to be able to speak today because it's kind of sandwiched by two dates. Yesterday, I am very grateful to have had a year in OA. I feel very fortunate. It's such a blessing. I just can't describe it to you. And then tomorrow I turn 67. So I guess better late than never, right? So I'm very glad to be here and to be with all of you to share this recovery, and we're trudging this road of happy destiny together. I would like to start with the third step prayer. You're happy. You're very welcome to join me. It just helps me to get a little more centered. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. Thank you all. So what it was like, I have been, and I'm going to be talking about another fellowship because that is how my recovery journey, if you will, started. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home, like we all tend to do. I had two parents, obviously. They were both alcoholics. My mother did some dabbling with drugs, but alcoholism is a familial disease and went back to my great-grandfather. Not so much my grandfather, although he drank every day. But it was always in the house. We always had happy hour, that magic hour that always seemed to be, wow, something that I wanted to participate with. So when I turned 16 and all of a sudden I could be with the grownups in happy hour, I thought I'd arrived. And so my drinking really started to escalate in college with disco and going to the bars on the weekends. I didn't drink, you know, I didn't want it to interfere with my studies, but boy, I partied hard on the weekends. And my drinking just kept progressing over time, you know, the insidiousness of addiction. And with that came a lot of difficulties. You know, as you can imagine, growing up in a dysfunctional home, of course I'm an addict. Of course I have control issues. Of course I have low self-esteem. You know, all of the issues that we all tend to share. I had depression, anxiety. I self-medicated with food. But the alcohol was my real go-to. Excuse me. And with my disease, you know, it led me into multiple relationships. I didn't know who I was. I had a big hole. We keep hearing about it, the hole in the donut. And I kept trying to fill it. I tried self-help. I tried psychology. I tried religion. I tried all kinds of, you know, various churches, if you will, throughout time, and didn't find what I was looking for. Just didn't find it. And then I discovered AA. I finally hit my bottom when I got behind the wheel of a car when I swore I never would. And that was Valentine's Day in 1999 when I stopped drinking because I was desperate. And I have been able to maintain that sobriety, for which I'm very, very grateful. But with sobriety and recovery came a journey. And I have read the big book multiple times. I've always had a sponsor and worked the steps. And it's been a wonderful process. And I've done a lot of growing up in that journey. But then I discovered, especially as I got older, I discovered that the alcoholism, the drinking masked my overexercising, and my compulsive overeating. I didn't see that for a long, long time. I always knew that sugar, if I started with, and I'm sorry, I'm going to mention, I'll not dwell on food, but I'm going to mention.
5 minutes.
Thank you, Hannah. I'm going to mention things like cookies and sweets. Once I started, all bets were off. You know, it wasn't one Girl Scout cookie. It was how many boxes did I buy? You know, that kind of thing. I'd make myself sick and just really thought, well, that's just the way it is. You know, I can't eat a lot of sugar. I increasingly failed at trying to moderate, but I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. So I kept getting older. I stayed in AA, stayed sober, but my compulsive overeating was starting to take on some different proportions, especially after I got injured. I injured my hip while exercising a few years ago. That really curtailed the overexercising. And then as I've gotten older, of course, my metabolism changed, but I kept eating the way I'd been eating when I was overexercising. So I started to put on some weight. And it's only been the last 2 to 3 years that I realized I didn't recognize my body anymore. I got up to 180 pounds. I'm only 5'5". And I started having, you know, I just didn't recognize. I didn't feel like I was part of my body. You know, I felt like I was disconnected from the neck down and that my body was betraying me somehow. And that it was a moral weakness because I just couldn't get a handle on these cravings and the obsession and, you know, just the hand to mouth. And it was only, I finally saw a picture of myself in a work photo and I was horrified. I hardly recognized myself. And then came my driver's license photo, another wake up call. And when I started to call food, or started to feel about food like I did about the alcohol, that was my wake-up call. I'm going, it's food. But I started thinking of it as the beast because I started to think of alcohol as the beast, this thing that controlled me. So I tried a program through the hospital in a local town. I have tried various diets over the years, forked out a lot of money and had some success years ago. But as I've gotten older, they just didn't work. They just didn't work because they didn't take away the obsession. I still had the obsession. So with the prepackaged foods, when they had desserts in those prepackaged foods, I was binging on the prepackaged foods. You know, it was ridiculous. And not accomplishing. And I felt totally powerless and out of control. So when the light went off, when I started thinking of food as alcohol, that was my wake up call. And all of a sudden, OA came to my mind. I thought, Ruth, hello, try OA. So I came into the rooms in 2019 before COVID. And I got a sponsor online from the OA Footsteps website. And I talked to her once a week. She took me through the 12 and 12 in OA and the workbook. And I thought, okay, I can do this. This is how she did it, how she got her abstinence and her recovery. And so she did this with me. And I found it very difficult. I found I couldn't wrap my head around red foods and yellow foods and a food plan and, you know, any of that. I was struggling so much with control. It was my pride and my ego were still alive and well. Alcohol I got, you know, put the skull and crossbones on anything alcohol. Okay, clear cut. Don't drink it. Don't go near it. But food, my pride and ego were my worst enemy. And I didn't see that for a long time. That old self-sufficiency. I can do it on my own. I'm okay. It's just food. A bite won't hurt me. that really was kicking me in the butt. And I didn't get it. I didn't get abstinence. I just didn't get it. And God works in mysterious ways. So my sponsor quit, you know, whether it was she just quit me or she quit sponsoring altogether, I never know because I just got an email. So I didn't have a chance to talk to her. So I was really just sort of, you know, drifting around for 2 or 3 months, you know, trying to figure this out. And I finally paid attention, more attention in rooms, and found a sponsor who was talking my language. She was talking about alcoholic foods. She was talking about using the big book of recovery from AA. And that got my interest. That I thought I could do. And I still had to work on my pride and my ego because it was still there. And so a year ago, yesterday, and we had to figure out a date because I started working with my sponsor, you know, in the fall of last year. But it takes what it takes, and it's a journey. And so I didn't beat myself up. I finally got some abstinence, but I couldn't remember the exact date. So we decided, well, let's say December 1st. You know, it's my sister's birthday. And so that stuck. And so have I had perfect abstinence? No. But I've been abstinent from my binge foods, from some of those behaviors. It's been a freedom for me. But what has been the crucial point for me has been my relationship with my higher power. I've always believed in God, especially in recovery and AA, but OA has been the miracle for me. It has opened up my world. It has opened up my relationship with my higher power. It has opened up the big book in ways I didn't think were possible. This is Overeaters Anonymous. You know, it's about food. How is this possible? And it's only through working the steps, working with my sponsor, coming to meetings, using the tools. I really struggled, you know, with picking up that 500-pound phone, but it is a godsend. And I have realized, you know, one way the big book opened up is the chapter to We Agnostics. I always brushed over that chapter because I thought, I'm not an agnostic, you know, I don't need that chapter. I read it, but I didn't really get it. And then finally, through the podcasts, through the working with my sponsor, through the study guide that she had me use, which took me through the big book with the steps, through the work she had me doing, the writing and paying special attention to excerpts from the big book, I learned that that whole chapter just asked me to lay aside my prejudices, to be willing to put aside my pride and my ego and maybe admit there's more that I could be learning, you know, to be teachable, to admit I don't know it all just because I've been in AA for 20 something years. I haven't got it down. My alcohol, okay, but I really needed help from my higher power with the food. And for that, I'm so grateful. I am so very grateful. And it has been a process. There have been ups and downs. Life has happened. We've moved. COVID. And I'm grateful for COVID because it's been another journey with this. I never thought possible. I have become open to a faith and a religion that I never thought possible in this process, partly because of COVID, because I've just had the time. I've still been working or was working all this time, have since retired this year, but I've had this time to spend on Zoom and to avail myself of the meetings and other resources. And so I discovered the Catholic religion. Never thought it was possible. Never. It's been a miracle. It's just been a miracle. And through that, I am not a Bible thumper. I don't push my religion on anyone because it's mine. It's just mine. It's mine to share if somebody wants to know or they ask me. but it's mine, but it's part of my story. It's part of my journey. So I'm sharing it with you guys now because it has enriched my spirituality. It has given me that many more tools to fall on that I am so grateful for because I've never had that. I've never had that. It's such a miracle, guys, to actually go to church and to feel something, to want to be there and not feel it's a duty. And that's the same with this program, to want to do the work. Thank you so much. To want to do the work, to want to be consistent in what I'm doing, because I can put my blinders on. I can start to coast when my disease starts talking. And if I do that, it can be insidious. It can be gradual. But the first thing that'll start to happen is I start letting up on those practices that have served me well and keep me connected to my higher power. And things start to get slippery. And I don't want to go there today, but I know I have to do my work. And part of it has been this compulsion to get up at this ridiculous hour and go to a prayer meditation meeting at 2:20 in the morning Eastern Standard Time, and to go to a two-way prayer meeting at 3 a.m. in the morning, and to attend this meeting, and to, you know, grow up, to just grow up even more, to be who I say I am, and to show up when I say I'm going to, and to also realize that I may judge myself by my intentions, but you guys judge me by my actions. And hopefully we're not judging, but I think you understand what I'm saying. I want to be authentic. And I only get that by being in the program and actually working it and maintaining that connection. So I so appreciate, you know, the relationships in my life. My current husband is my fourth husband. I met him in AA. We've been married now 21 years this month, and it's only because of recovery. He's in recovery too, and we talk the same language. And I just love that. And he's been on this journey, and he attends church with me because he was a cradle Catholic and just had fallen away. So together, we're trudging this road of happy destiny, which is such a blessing because I never had that in my previous marriages. So I'm so grateful to be here. And I just want to close with a reading from page 164 in the big book. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge this road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. This is a journey. It's progress, not perfection. And for that, I'm also very grateful. Thank you all so much for giving me this opportunity to share. I'm so grateful you guys are here and trudging this road with me. So with that, I'll end. Thank you.